Thanks, Simon, and thanks, Mark, for what you shared with us. We're going to look at a passage from Acts this morning, and I'm going to be reading from Acts 14, starting at verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. I hope it matches the one on the screen. And we're starting in the city of Iconium. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to ill-treat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Laconian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. Now in Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Laconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust.
Thank you, Derek. Let's just pray for Mark as he comes now. Lord, I thank you for your servant Mark. I just thank you for the passion you've placed in his heart to speak from your word, to stand alongside those who serve you so faithfully and so fearlessly. Just anoint him now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So we have a short time to try and just share with you. I'm just praying that it's the Baptist Mark that you get and not the Pentecostal one today. Love it. Oh, I feel at home now. You know, I recognize that Acts chapter 14 is such a powerful scripture. The book of Acts is amazing. I don't know about you. When I grew up, I saw the book of Acts and used to say to myself, wow, God, look, I want to be like that. I don't know about you. I think some... When I grew up, I loved the world. I loved partying. I loved raving. I loved girls. I loved drinking. I loved it. This may not be the right audience, okay? This may not be the right audience. But I'm being honest, I loved that. I loved that lifestyle. And then when I was coming to church, I grew up in church. I used to do that, party on the weekend, Saturday. Everything was amazing. Then turned up to church on Sunday. All things bright and new. Oh, how boring. This was just, it was testing me. But my parents were telling me about the love of Jesus. And I watched their life. And they were growing up in such a hardship. But I grew up in a church where we had people that were immigrants. We grew up in a church where my parents and those were coming from the Windrush era. So they came to England with this promise. This was the land of the streets are paved with gold. You're going to have loads of riches. Come on over. Then you had the lowest jobs and no one wanted to entertain you. My mom used to tell me about some horrible, horrible stories coming to England as a black woman. A black woman turning up in England in the 50s and the 60s was not easy. And she used to tell me that she went to church one day and she went to an Anglican church and she turned up and she said, oh, she sat there, she enjoyed the service, it was lovely. Remember, she's coming from Jamaica. We didn't even understand. As far as we knew, Christianity was Christianity. We're all brothers and sisters. She turned up to the church, they enjoyed the service, came, and then after the service, the vicar came to her and said, look, I'm really glad you came, but I'm asking you, the congregation are disturbed that you are here, and we're asking you not to ever come back. She was distraught. She recognized what's going on. And she didn't understand this Christianity was meant to be us brothers and sisters together. But there were some other tensions that were going on even in Christianity. And I used to grow up around these people who my elders, who my mum has passed away now 2 years ago, who was in her 80s, in that generation, went through atrocities. My mum would tell me stories that I used to say, Mum, why are we here? I don't understand why you want to stay here. But when I used to come to church on a Sunday, they would sing about this glorious place. Used to sing about, we shall have a grand time up in heaven. And they would sing about a place always beyond where they were. And I'd be like, don't you want to live here? What? You're always talking about leaving and when Jesus comes back and when this. And I didn't understand what joy they was getting out of this Christianity. And I was saying to myself, God, I don't want to serve you because your thing looks boring. I hate it. I come to church. Everyone looks miserable. No one smiles. No one's having a fun. When I go to party, everyone's smiling and having lots of fun. But I turn up to church trying to serve this Jesus. But then when Jesus really grabbed hold of me, when I had this experience with Jesus, it was just one day in his normal, boring service, God just came into my heart, flooded me. I was like, wow, what is this feeling? I was weeping uncontrollably, and I felt embarrassed because there was loads of girls' numbers that I wanted to get that day, and I felt so silly. But now I'm being challenged, and the Bible started to come alive to me. And I was reading the book of Acts, and I'm thinking, wow, God, this was your church. And I was looking at my church and thinking, this is not marrying up. I was looking at how easy and comfortable the church became, and the church just came to church and did church. Then we went home, had our dinner, Sunday lunch, came back again, and we started all over again. And I'm saying, where is this book in our lives? And I loved it. But what I didn't understand was that the book of Acts was really a challenge to say, when you really put your head above the parapet as a Christian, when you really go up against systems, when you really go up against powers that do not want you to challenge their system, it could mean a lot of pain for you. So when I read the book of Acts and I read this story, it was so exciting. And I see the Apostle Paul, this guy started off in this other country, Lystra. He's preaching. He says many people were listening and being converted. That's exciting. But then there's another group saying, this is too much power for these people, so we must do something to stop this man. So there was a rumor that they were going to stone him. They heard about it, and they left from Lystra and went to Iconium. They went to another area. And they started preaching again. Now, for me, there is something about what's inside of you to know that you're preaching about Jesus. It's causing a problem to the systems around you. To know that you could lose your life for it and you still keep preaching. Imagine James starts off in Morden. He goes to the local Sainsbury's in Morden. He preaches this amazing sermon in Morden. Everyone's listening. People are being converted. Then the local guy says, if this guy don't stop, we're going to beat him up. We're going to get our bats. We're going to kill him. James hears about it. I'm off. I'm going down to New Morden where the civilized people are. Comes down to New Morden and he's enjoying life in New Morden. The same people came from Morden, comes down to New Morden, stirs up the people in this area saying, this guy's a charlatan. He's up to mess up our country, mess up our system here. We need to kill him. The text goes on to say that as Paul and Barnabas, they were worshipping, thinking these guys are amazing because they prayed for someone and saw him being healed miraculously. Now these days, you know, we struggle to pray for migraines these days. Because I don't think people believe anymore that God's power works the way it works. But here, Paul says he prays for this guy. Everyone's like, wow. And they want to give sacrifices to him. And he says, listen, this is not about me trying to be famous here. And he points them back to Jesus. The problem has been really, the church is in a strange place where we've got so many people being TikTok famous, YouTube famous. People have got all this status about who they are in Christianity. But what do we do on the ground? What are we doing day in, day out with our faith that impacts our community, impact lives, impact our family? And actually, sometimes, even in the places that we work, people may even, knowing that you're a Christian could be a problem. Sometimes I work in schools, and I realize to be able to share my faith in schools, it's a problem. To talk to young people about who I am as a Christian, they tell me I'm not allowed to do that. Can you imagine in this Christian country that I cannot talk about Jesus? Now, right here, 2024, if I do that, I can't do that. We may see around the world and think, oh my gosh, it's so terrible. I'm telling you, the UK is slowly turning gently. Persecution has not come on our doorstep like we've seen around the world. What I've showed you today, Apostle Paul, when he preached, they said they took him outside the city and they stoned him. And it looked like he was dead. That means they stoned him. They thought they killed him. Around the world, we are seeing people being massacred and killed just for saying Jesus. I love, is it Judy? Trudy? Trudy. I love what she did up here. I love what she did up here. And here's the issue is that sometimes we're not even awake to really what's happening in our world. It doesn't bother us. There's an illness that, I can't remember the name, I think it's, there's an illness that you have in the human body that you lose all senses in your body, that even if you've got your finger slammed in the door or hand on the fire, it doesn't burn you. Your nerves, you don't feel pain. I believe this is where the body of Christ is becoming in the UK. That the body of Christ is not feeling pain through our family anymore. Because we're one body. So to know that people are being murdered for their faith in Africa, in Asia, in the South Americas, If this is happening around the world, and we have service, there's something wrong with that. Something wrong with the fact that we do not hurt anymore. There's something wrong with the fact that I'm not alerted. It doesn't bother me that there's 365 million people that are being persecuted by my faith, for their faith. I'm saying, God, I want to be challenged. I don't want to just come to church. I did that. Why I said I used to find church boring? Because we used to come to church, we sang songs. Oh, Lord, we love you, we love you, we love you. We go home. Oh, you may have a church that you may get tea and coffee afterwards and get custard creams. But if you're really persecuted, you may only get rich tea. But I realize we have no clue what persecution means. Persecution would be, oh, Pastor James, I can't believe you haven't got Earl Grey. This is so terrible. I can't believe that the communion wafers are not vegan. We have no clue. There are people that are dying for Jesus. Somehow. The pictures when you saw those women singing and singing those beautiful songs, saying even though we're persecuted, the story is from DRC, from Congo, the Dominican Republic of Congo. And what happened in that story, the ADF, the Alliance of Democratic Force, it's another militia group, came into the church. They bombed the church. People scattered. They followed a group, a family was hidden in the woods. Elderly, women, children. They went and they found them. Found them. Over 60 of them. And they shot them. They shot some of them. And the rest of them, they used machetes to hack them to death. From being in a church. One of the husbands of the women escaped. He said, I have had a future, had everything before me. Now what do I have? Where do I go? What do I do? This is a Christian asking, I have no clue what to do next. I would not know what to do emotionally, mentally, if that happened. If I went home, my family were wiped out because I came to New Malden to preach. Do I keep doing it? Do I keep getting up? Do you know what? There are times in my life that I've had some dark times. There's times that my wife has had some dark times. We question God. I don't know if you've ever questioned God when things get so bad. When life gets so rough, when people around you who you didn't expect to die, died, and you're questioning God, or someone's got an illness that they shouldn't have, or someone died of cancer who loved Jesus and they were never healed. I've got questions, God. You've got a right to have questions. We're human beings. But how does a group of people that can watch and see their family being massacred turn up next week and say, God, you are. God, you are still God. How do we do that? Because our faith needs to be embedded so deeply that no matter what happens, we will never lose hope or never lose our faith. My challenge to you today is this. I said to God, God, I want to be like the apostles. I want to be like the book of Acts. I want to be fearless. But these stories, these guys, if you follow the stories to the end, they got killed for their faith. This isn't a glamour story about how amazing all signs and wonders. Sometimes churches can make it. The book of Acts, the New Testament, is a story of persecution. The whole New Testament, you read that book properly. Put it into context. The whole book is telling you that the early church was going through tensions and was about to be wiped off the face of the earth. And the stories, Paul was writing letters to say, be encouraged. Even in my chains, I'm encouraging you. That I may serve him. I will live for him, no matter what. Paul says, for me to live in this world, it will be Christ. But if I die, it's my gain. Today, my challenge is this. Where is our faith at? I'm asking myself questions. God, can I say that? When I live every single day, it must be for you. And if I die, it will be again. I live so fearlessly. It doesn't matter who is looking at me, who's challenging me, that I don't crumble because I know who my God is. So today, my challenge to New Morden Baptist Church is, please get involved. Do something. Let's get to a place of prayer. If you want to come and act, let's say do something. You want to give, whatever it is, do something. And we are here to help you do something on behalf of your persecuted family. James is here to help you do something on behalf of your community. If you want to do something, do something. Don't sit in church doing nothing. You have a privilege of freedom to really live out your Christianity. And there's something wrong if you come to church and do nothing. We must get our hands dirty for Jesus. So my challenge today is simply that. Do something. Come and see me afterwards. Please, those little forms, sign it. Write down, I need to hear about prayer because I need to pray. And we need to pray strategically. Just bow your heads, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pass back over to James. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for New Morden Baptist. Thank you for a church that has a heart is open to your persecuted family, Lord Jesus. To those who are around the world who worship you and serve you, who have been killed for their faith, who have stood up in persecution. Lord Father, I pray right now that we have a church that will arise in prayer. A church that, Lord Father, will arise, Lord Father, and get on with their faith, Lord God. A church that will be challenged in their faith, that, Lord, they will not have a boring Christianity, but, Lord Father, they will be ignited to do something unique, even in their own community. Set their community alight, Lord Jesus. Let them, Lord Father, be that light that shines, Lord Father, in their community. That others around will come here. That this church would be too small to handle the people that are coming into this church. That, Lord Father, give this church answers to prayer. That, Lord Father, the community, Lord Father, they will meet the needs of their community, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now for those around the world, those who are trapped in prisons, being unlawfully imprisoned, those who have lost family members, those who have seen their churches or their homes burnt down. Lord, I pray you encourage them, embolden their faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.